The reading this morning is in two parts. The first reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, and this can be found in the Bibles on page 1031. And if you like to put your finger in the next reading, that is from Philippians 1, reading from verses 1 to 6, and that is on page 1178. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And now we move on to the Philippians reading, Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Good morning again. When we were thinking about how to put together this service, Helen Fraser, one of our associate vicars, said to me, "It seems like you've got a lot to say about this. Would you like to preach?" Well, yes, this is something that at St Mary's Global, we're really passionate about this issue. So Helen's not here today, but she's given us this slot to speak. So would you join me in praying? Heavenly Father, we pray that the words I say now would be the words that you want us to hear, that we would have open hearts and open minds, and that we would respond as you would have us do. Amen. Who here has a birthday in September? Can you stick up your hand? Oh, quite a few of you. Who knows someone, a friend or a family member who's got a birthday coming up? We've got a family birthday next weekend. I don't know who's in charge of buying birthday cards in your family, or even if you still send them, you might send a WhatsApp message or a Facebook post or Skype or a text, something like that. But if you've been into one of Reigate's many stationery shops, you can't fail to have noticed the current trend for cards with inspirational messages on. Anyone seen these? We can't say happy birthday anymore. That's not enough, it seems. We need to offer some words of wisdom as well to brighten someone's day. I don't know if you've seen these ones, or if I'm going to come up on the screen now. We've got "Dream Bigger, Who Said You Can't Have It All?" Next one, "Never Let Anyone Dull Your Sparkle." Then we have "Decide, Commit, Succeed." That's quite a focused, perhaps manly one there. This is my personal favourite, "Put on your positive pants." So remember, when you're having a bad day and the world seems against you, put on your positive pants and all will be well. If only it were that simple. And finally, be wild and free. Being free. This is Freedom Sunday. I wonder what we understand by the word freedom. For us, it's probably something we take for granted. Yes, we all feel trapped at times, and some of us face some very real issues where there seems no way out. But I suspect that even in those darkest times, most of us still have the choice over where we go on a daily basis, what we say, who we talk to, how we spend our money, and so on. Physical freedom is something we enjoy. Yet for 45 million people in the world today, a quarter of those being children, freedom is far from their reality. Of course, figures like that are always hard to get your head around. It's been said that when one person dies, it's a tragedy. When a million people die, it's a statistic. And when it's a statistic, it remains at arm's length. So let's try and put some flesh on those figures. Would you picture some faces for me in your mind? Would you picture the face of a young woman taken from her home and forced to work in a brothel that she's never allowed to leave? And the face of a man working on a construction site whose wages are taken by his minder to go towards the debt he will never be able to repay. Or the child kidnapped off the streets and working 17 hours a day doing back-breaking work. It's only when we think of the individuals behind the figures that we begin to see the reality. As Ian has said, this is Freedom Sunday, and we're joining in with hundreds, perhaps thousands of churches around the world to focus on freedom. This is because the issue of modern slavery is a key issue for our generation, and it requires a collaborative response. And the church has a huge part to play in that, and also, I would suggest, a biblical responsibility. I attended the Southwark Diocese Modern Day Slavery Conference in July, where the National Crime Agency reported that people trafficking is currently the fastest growing international crime. So that's ahead of drug smuggling, terrorism, money laundering. And we believe the church is uniquely placed to speak out about freedom. If you were here last week, I know many of you were off doing Run Reigate. I hope you've recovered. If that was you, you've got your breath back and nursed whatever injuries you might have had. But Linwyn was talking about the passage in Revelation 21, where it speaks of the time we look forward to, where there will be no more death or mourning. And that is the hope that we hold on to. We know that ultimately God has the victory. But right now, there are still battles to be fought. And I would suggest that modern slavery is one of the key battles around the world today. We're starting a new series in the book of Philippians in the morning services. Thank you for the readings, Liz. Liz and also Sharon, who led our intercessions, are both members of our justice group here, which if you're interested in joining to find out a little bit more about this, we meet once a month on a Monday evening to pray, to talk about these issues and think about how we can respond. Please speak to one of us, Ian as well, if you'd like to find out some more about that. So in the mornings, we're thinking about being partners in the gospel. If you have your Bible in front of you, you might like to look at it. Verse 4 says, in all my, that's Paul's, prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is praying with joy. The church is getting it right. As you know, the New Testament contains a number of Paul's letters to churches. These churches are new. They're working things out. They're finding their way. And so Paul's letters are there to guide and instruct them, often to correct them, to bring them back into line if they veered off course a bit, and sometimes to rebuke them really quite directly. But this time, it's a gold star for the Philippian church. They got it right. Being a partner in the gospel is how it's supposed to work. It was lovely to hear from James and Debbie and the team earlier about the ways in which they've been partnering in the gospel and what that looks like in a really practical way. If you ever get the opportunity to go on a trip like that, I would encourage you to do so. And I would guess that if you've been coming to church for any length of time, you've probably heard sermons on sharing the good news, on evangelism, on how to talk to our friends, sharing our faith at work. And that, of course, is a vital part of how we live our lives as Christians. Be encouraged in that, keep going. But let's look at our other reading in Luke chapter 4, the words that Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah as he stood in the synagogue. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." That was Jesus' anointed ministry here on earth, and it was geared to the poor, the last, the least, the little, and the lost. We are called to be like him, to follow his example. So let's look at his mission, what he came to do, and join in. Of course, Jesus' death and resurrection are the fundamentals of our faith. And when we're talking about sharing the gospel, that is the focus. And we're going to remembering that in communion later on this morning. But as we think about working in partnership with him, there is a biblical mandate for joining in with his work in setting the oppressed free. The Bible talks a lot about the poor. And whilst there's certainly a spiritual and metaphorical application of that, on many occasions it does mean the actual physical poor. It means those who are outside the rule of law, those for whom in our culture there is no 999, no one to advocate on their behalf, no criminal justice system to protect them. So when it talks here of being set free, yes, it means spiritual freedom, freedom from addiction, behaviour patterns, sin, but it also means those who are physically in captivity. We are called to be a voice for the voiceless, to defend the rights of the poor and needy. I'm aware there may be people here who don't know personally the spiritual freedom that Jesus brings, and if that's you, I would encourage you to find out more, to take some steps to understand what it means to be a Christian, to put on your own oxygen mask first. And if following Jesus means engaging with his work of freedom, what does that mean for each of us here in Reigate today? The video we watched earlier gave a glimpse into the amazing work of IGM, who have already rescued 40,000 people from slavery around the world. They have committed to not stop until all are free. That is amazing. And they have issued a call for more people to join with them in their fight. So you should have received one of these as you came in, hopefully with Pew News. You might like to sign up on here for their prayer alerts. You might like to become a regular giver to them. I know many people in the congregation are ready to do that. If you'd like to join that, please fill in the forms. You can hand them in at the back or post them off yourself. Also, our collection later on will be going straight towards the work of IJM. And I would encourage you to pray in this. I cannot overemphasize the power of prayer. Prayer is undoubtedly the single most powerful response we can make to this kind of injustice, the single most powerful weapon in our arsenal. I wonder, when I asked you to picture those three faces earlier, what you saw, and perhaps more importantly, where those faces were. The young woman in a brothel could have been in the Philippines, where thousands of underage girls are forced to work in the sex industry. Or it could have been here in the UK, even on Dorking High Street, where a brothel advertising East Asian girls was shut down just this summer. I don't know how many of you read the Evening Standard. They've recently launched a campaign to raise awareness of modern slavery, which is fantastic. In one of their editorials last week, a spokesperson for the Wilberforce Institute for Slavery and Emancipation said, "Everybody reading the Evening Standard," so that was me, it might have been some of you, "can be reasonably sure there is a brothel with trafficked women within 2 or 3 miles of where they live." That's not a very big radius. What about the face of the man on the construction site? He could have been making bricks in India, or he could have been here in the UK, where bonded labour is the biggest form of modern slavery. He might have been one of the 35 Eastern European men who were found living in a 3-bedroom house in London earlier this week, sleeping on wall-to-wall mattresses. You might have read about it. What about the young boy? He probably wasn't in the UK, to be fair, although it's not impossible. But he may have been working the Ivory Coast, where there are thousands of boys like him who, instead of being in school, are used as slave labour in the chocolate industry to keep the prices of our chocolate low. Slavery has many faces, and it exists pretty much everywhere, and it touches all our lives, even in Reigate. The National Crime Agency again said, "As you go about your normal daily life and you're engaged in a legitimate economy, accessing goods and services, there is a growing and a good chance you will come across a victim." Would you cast your minds back about 25 years or so? I've got some images coming up on the screen. Don't know if you remember any of these. The time we were marvelling over the wonders Dyson vacuum cleaners for the first time. They were brand new. We were mystified by the launch of the X-Files. We might have been humming the theme tune to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Any Bryan Adams fans out there? No? Okay. Just me then. We were thinking about what was the first Gulf War under George Bush Sr. We were mourning the loss of Freddie Mercury, whose death hit the news and shocked many of us. But some of the most memorable images that filled our TV screens, and remember TVs back then weren't the nice flat screens we have now, they're big boxes, took up a lot of space. These images came from Romania, which had just opened up to the West after the fall of communism. And the reports that came in of conditions in Romanian orphanages, where parents had been actively encouraged by the state to hand over their children for the good of their upbringing, those images were truly shocking. This is one of the probably more sanitised ones I came across, actually. Is this ringing bells for some of you? I know not all of you might be old enough to think back that far, but if you do remember that, and you might even have responded in some way, maybe by sending some money or sending warm blankets and clothing out to Romania, much in the same way that we send things out to Syria today through Samara's Aid. We heard earlier from James about his gap year. I had a gap year around that time, and during it I visited one of these orphanages in Romania. And what I saw there profoundly affected me. Although things had begun to improve by then, the children I met had clearly been starved of love and some really basic physical needs. Fast forward 25 years, and if that aching need for love has still not been met, these people are easy prey for traffickers promising them a future. And the facts bear this out. Romanians are the 6th highest nationality of people trafficked to the UK, and some are picked up as soon as they are old enough to step foot outside these orphanages. So when I picture the face of a victim of modern slavery, I picture the faces of those children I saw back then. They're now aged 30 or so, I guess. And some of them are just possibly living in the UK, perhaps forced to work as cleaners, labourers, in car washes, which is one of the highest incidences of trafficked people, or on the streets, and perhaps not that far away from us today. I don't know how observant you would say you are. I confess I'm fairly rubbish There are countless times we've been walking around Reigate with my children and they'll say to me, "Mummy, so-and-so just said hello to you," and I will completely have missed it. If I've done that to any of you, I apologise. Please don't take it personally. You may be like me and be very unobservant, or you may be a bit like my friend's mum, who thought she was observant, and she ran the local neighbourhood watch in her street and prided herself on knowing what was going on. I think there might have been a certain amount of twitching net curtains happening. And no one was more surprised than she was when the police raided the house directly opposite hers and found a cannabis factory. And that's part of the battle. People are being hidden in plain sight. We need to know what to look for. We're going to be running an event later this term, again with IJM, about spotting the signs of modern slavery. And I would urge you to come if you can. And I would particularly encourage you if you have a position of influence at work. You may know that companies over a certain size have certain legal obligations now as a result of the Modern Slavery Act. And if you have any influence in that, please make modern slavery something that people are aware of in your workplace. It would be a great shame if companies posted statements about their supply chain on their website, and yet their employees pass victims of modern slavery on their daily commute. When we become a Christian, the theological word that's used is redemption. We have been redeemed. Literally, a payment is made for our release. We have been bought out of sin. It's Jesus' death and resurrection that paid for our freedom and redeems the whole of mankind. So isn't the idea of slavery abhorrent in light of what Jesus has done? And doesn't that give us as Christians an added reason to stand up and fight? So where do we go from here? As we read earlier in Philippians 1, we are called to work in partnership in the gospel. And the good news of the gospel, it is the God of justice who ultimately sets us free, spiritually and physically. And there are amazing stories of that happening around the world, many thanks to the ceaseless work of IJM. Our response is not to single-handedly take on a gang of human traffickers, but to join in with what God is already doing, to work in partnership with him in standing up for the oppressed, being a voice for the voiceless, a light in this very dark darkness, knowing that it is only through him that modern slavery will be abolished. And that is why, however bleak the statistics might be, we have hope. Perhaps the worship team could come up now. We're going to respond in a minute by saying a prayer together. And please use it to commit to whatever God has placed on your heart this morning. For some, it might be accepting the freedom that Jesus' death and resurrection brings for the first time. For others, it might be supporting the work of IJM through prayer, through donations, perhaps through joining our justice group here. Or it may be allowing God to use you where he has placed you. Not that long ago, we probably all thought that slavery was abolished in the UK over 200 years ago. And when William Wilberforce stood up in Parliament in 1789 to deliver his famous abolition speech against the atrocities of the slave trade, he ended with some extremely challenging words. And I think those words echo down the centuries to us today. He said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." Let's not be those who respond to what we've heard by denying the issues and choosing to look the other way. As a church, we can make a difference. Would you stand with me? I'd like to lead us in a prayer of response. The words should be up on the screen. So let's pray together. Almighty God, creator of the universe, I feel hopeless in the face of the world's suffering. Yet I offer back to you the only thing I can, my ordinary, everyday life. I ask you to take it into your hands, that it may be used to bring even a flicker of justice in your world, a candle for peace, and not just today, Lord, but through the coming days as I move in your spirit of love. Amen.